Bernie Halen-Patterson, thank you for coming in this morning and talking a little bit about the Children's Home. Mac, first to you. You've been associated with the Children's Home for some years now, and I know that you're responsible also for compiling a little history, a little booklet that I've been looking through over the last few days, a book looking at the history of the Hawke's Bay Children's Home. When did it all start, Mac?
The Children's Home? Mm. Way back in 1892. Like most of these Hawke's Bay or New Zealand charitable organisations, they started in a very small way by a small group of people who saw there was something that needed to be done and decided to do something about it. In this case, it was the ladies of the Baptist Union at their monthly meeting who had two girls who were homeless, and they thought they'd better do something about them. So they found a place for them, but at the same time they felt something more permanent should be done. And they had no cash, they had no premises, all they had were promises of assistance from members of the general public. So they went ahead, and that was the start of 100 years activity of the Hawke's Bay Children's Home.
Back in those days, of course, Hawke's Bay was a bit of a different place, wasn't it? I mean, you've looked through photographs, haven't you? I mean, things have changed a lot. What was the landscape like in those days? What was it like living in Napier?
Things were pretty grim. There wasn't much help for anybody who was in trouble.
There wasn't a social welfare net there to catch people.
There was not. No, there were some grim cases. I've looked through the minutes. Cases, for instance, where a mother had lost her husband, was unable to pay the rent, and was thrown out onto the street with her furniture and the children. Nowhere to go, nobody to look after them.
Used to see the old silent movies and the nasty landlord like that, didn't we?
Yes.
It was a reality of the day then.
It certainly was. There were many hard cases like that at the time. Not only widowhood. Sometimes the father had to go up country to work, and things would go wrong with mum and the kids, and there was nobody else to look after them. The government aid board wasn't very helpful at that stage. They had a policy that children should not go into institutions. They should be placed out with foster parents. That worked moderately well, I presume, although I must say at the first annual meeting, the chairman of the charitable aid board, Mr. R.D.D. McLean, stated that he felt that the proposals for a children's home would provide facilities better than the government could supply. So he was in favour of it. So there was some official support at that stage, although there's no money. Mm. He didn't get a government subsidy until 1909, I think it was.
So really, in response to those tough times and some of the sights that people were seeing, particularly those ladies from the Baptist, what was it, Napier Baptist Bible Women's Society, I think they were the ones, weren't they, that saw. It wasn't that it started actually as a religious, though, organisation as such, was it?
No, it was always undenominational.
Has it always remained that way?
Yes, always. There's been no bars on any children on the grounds of religion, colour, sex. That's always been the policy.
So they started, what, purchasing a home, did they, for these two girls? Obviously there were a few more destitute women and children that were in need at the time, and they all came into the home.
Well, they started off with these two girls, and they placed them with a widow in a cottage in Oneipoto Valley. Then they shifted to another house in town, but that didn't prove satisfactory. Finally, they purchased a property in Burlington Road, an acre of land, a bigger house, and that's where they really got going. Children kept coming in fairly rapidly, and the numbers built up to about 30 towards the finish at that home. They started off with just girls and the young boys. They wouldn't take any boys older than 6. And this continued until they found the pressure for the admission of older boys was such that they had to move into bigger premises. And that's when they shifted into Priestley Road.
Priestley Road, that was called originally what, Randall House?
Randall House. This was an odd setup. About the same time as the Hawke's Bay Children's Home was formed, the France Orphans Trust was formed.
Which was a different charitable trust from
what? Setup altogether. But they never operated a children's home as such. Instead, they offered to build a suitable home in Priestley Road for the Hawke's Bay Children's Home and lease it to the children's home at a nominal rent, and some of their children were placed in it. And that was the start of the institution-type homes. big old place. I remember it in the early 50s. Three stories, long echoing corridors, high ceilings. Not a very comfortable place, I don't think. Bottom of a gully. Must have been cold in winter, blazing hot in summer.
Gosh, it must have been. Yeah, I mean, things have changed a lot. We'll talk about what the children's home is about now anyway, and particularly where you are at Swinburne House. But can you think back to those days? These weren't like orphanages, were they?
Well, I wasn't around those days.
Okay.
Sorry.
But at the same time, they weren't orphanages, were they? They were...
My understanding of it is that certainly there were still some orphans around, but some children were coming in for other reasons, as Mr. Swinburne's already said. Problems in the home, dad away or dad not present.
How long did they stay for, Mac?
It's difficult to generalise. In most cases, they averaged 2 or 3 years, although some were there anything up to 10 or 12 years. Sometimes they came in at 5 and stayed there until they left school. But there weren't so many of them.
So we could have quite a number of our listeners out there who might be old boys or old girls of the Hawke's Bay Children's Home.
Certainly.
What about reputation? I mean, was it a bit of a stigma to be someone who went into the Hawke's Bay Children's Home?
I think at that stage, up until the Second World War anyway, there was definitely a stigma, which is why we've always operated at such a low profile. We didn't feel it was fair on the children or their parents, come to that. That, I think, is changing these days, although it's something we still have to keep in mind, even with the daycare centre.
Which we'll talk about a little bit later on.
Yes, that.
The buildings like Randall House, Gordon House.
Gordon House was another building put up by the France Trustees.
France Trustees and yourselves, your organisation, had similar ideals?
Yes, I think that's a fair statement. They worked in fairly closely together.
When we talk about France House, we often talk about France House out at Estelle, don't we?
That is the third big institution-type home we put up. That was for the older boys.
That wasn't the original France House, though, was it?
Yes, that was built in 1924 as France House for the older boys. They moved there from Gordon House when they were old enough to do farm work. That's roughly what it comes to. And France House was built, nice brick house too, 1924, got flattened in the earthquake 7 years later. They had to start all over again. Somehow they got the money together, had to borrow some of it for the first time, and it carried on out there as a farm for training the older boys until the 60s, when there were insufficient number of boys to run the farm. And it was finally closed in the early 70s due to lack of numbers and the cost of running it, frankly.
Yeah. We think of that, a lot of people would think of that as Beck House.
It was taken over by the government and renamed as Beck House.
Yes, yeah.
Same building.
Same, exactly the same building, and that is, of course, is still there. It was taken over after Beck House by the military, the academy out there.
That's right.
And... I think they're still out there at the moment, aren't they? I'm not too sure, but things have changed, I know.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so really, you know, France, not France House, the Hawke's Bay Children's Home has had quite an amazing history, really, over the 100 years. It's developed and it's changed, and now it has net assets of nearly $1.5 million.
Yes.
But the philosophy behind the organisation has changed to some degree, the way that you operate, and that's something that I would like to look at in just a moment or two.
Right.
It's 21 minutes past 10. Murder. This Bay Children's Home, because it this year celebrates its 100th year in existence. 1892 it started by a group of women in Napier who saw a need within the community, and in typical New Zealand fashion, they did something about it. Max Swinburne, who's a past trust chairman, he was trust chairman for the years 1982, I think it was, Mac, right through to 1990, and secretary-manager, you started off in 1954, and I'm not too sure, you're not still secretary-manager, are you? But I know you have a lot to do with the Hawke's Bay Children's Home, and of course you've compiled this little booklet which looks at the history of it, and with me also is Judy Halen-Patterson, who's the principal of Swinburne House. Now, you've been the principal of Swinburne House for a number of years too, Judy.
Yes, I have.
1978 you started there.
That's right.
That was the inception, wasn't it? That was when Swinburne House really started.
Yes, although it actually, it was a children's home, that is, but we actually started in 75 with a group of suburban churches getting together and seeing a need. Mm-hmm. And we started at Onikawa at that point.
You are a working minister, is that what you...
I'm a self-supporting priest.
That's right, self-supporting priest. I knew that there was a term that I had to use there, self-supporting priest. Now, one of the things we mentioned before is that the church is really, this is an interdenominational organisation, isn't
it? That's right, and that group amalgamated with the Hawke's Bay Children's Home. And the group at that point felt completely comfortable with the Hawke's Bay Children's Home constitution, because we were interdenominational then, with no particular religious bias. Mm.
As I mentioned before, the Hawke's Bay Children's Home has gone through quite a number of changes over the years. We talked earlier on about the institutional houses, like Randall House and Gordon House, were there. Multi-story buildings, long corridors, echoey corridors, and I think there's a few people out there who most probably been to boarding schools who, that would bring back memories, I suppose, and there might be even some old boys or old girls that might share with us some of their experiences this morning, because our lines are open for their calls as well. But what was it that changed your philosophy to move from the institutional style of accommodation to the family homes?
Well, this was a change in the whole social atmosphere of the time. This was in the 50s and the early 60s. We found the type of child coming in was changing. We were no longer getting children whose parents couldn't keep them for one reason or another, mainly finance, I think. Instead, we were getting children with emotional upsets, and they were much more difficult to deal with, and we didn't have the staff either in numbers or in training, and as the numbers of children fell, so the cost went up, the cost per child, and towards the finish it was becoming obvious we could no longer afford to keep these institution type homes going, nor were they serving the original purpose for which they were formed. So it was felt preferable that the children should be in smaller groups, in homes, if possible, indistinguishable from ordinary homes, with a married couple, looking after them, with the husband going out to work and the wife doing the housework, just like an ordinary family. We felt this would give the children a better and more secure background and a better chance to get the training and experience they would need when they went out on their own. It proved quite successful, really. Staffing at times was a problem, although we were fortunate. In two of the homes, who had very good couples, and they're still there. They've been there for years. But on the whole, there was no doubt this was a good move. And we carried on with those until the new legislation came in.
The legislation you're talking about is the Children's and Young Persons in Their Families Act, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, right. Mm. So what were those homes? Those homes, you know, people might remember. I mean, what were some of the family homes that you've operated in the area?
We had three family homes. The first one to be established was Rochford in Havelock North, and this was followed by Edgeley in Taradale. And a couple of years later, we had Nelson House in Flaxmere.
What was the difference between these homes and some of the social welfare homes that have been in the area?
Not very much, although I think the staff would say the social welfare homes had much better quarters for their staff. They had self-contained flats, which we weren't in a position to provide.
I see.
But the principle was much the same, although the numbers in our homes probably weren't as many as in the social welfare homes.
How many children were you catering for at this time? This is a period, this is about between, what, 1966 from 1966 on, isn't it?
Yes. Well, the two first homes were designed to take six children. Usually there are about four. Nelson was bigger. That was designed to take eight. And the usual numbers were around about six. We've had a few more, a few less from time to time. But that was about the maximum we could expect any married couple to look after.
Yeah. Well, of course, there was a move also to daycare, which was instituted about 1978. And I want to deal with that very shortly because I want to talk to you about that, that, Judy. I want to also talk about, you know, Swinburne House, too, that you're associated with. We would like to hear from maybe old boys or old girls, and I know that there are a few that we'll be talking to in about 5 minutes' time. Our number, by the way, is 830-8989. The Hawke's Bay Children's Homes, celebrating 100 years in existence here in Hawke's Bay this year. At Leo's Tyres, let's just talk to you a little bit about the move now from the family homes, to daycare. Why was it thought that there had to be daycare rather than maybe just care in the homes?
Well, the Hawke's Bay Children's Home saw that there was a need in the community for to relieve stress, particularly for solo parents, which was becoming a significant need at that time. Excuse me. And the centre I was involved in prior to that had also picked that need up. So the two joined together to form the same network, and that Swinburne House came from that.
So you don't have anybody staying there overnight, so to speak?
No, it's a day centre.
Purely a day centre?
Yes. The children go back to their homes in the evening.
What is done at that centre?
We have what we could call a whole programme. We provide for the educational needs of the children in a heavily structured educational programme. We provide for their health needs. For example, we have our own doctor. We provide for their nutritional needs by providing meals, and their social needs and their emotional needs.
What ages are we talking about?
So we're talking about children from the age of 2 upwards to 5 or 6.
Preschool.
Preschool children. Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the children that come to you and the reasons for them coming to you.
All the children who come to Swinburne House have to have been referred in by a social worker, for example, from Social Welfare or Community Health Services, or the Napier Family Centre, or a health nurse from, once again, Community Health or Plunkett, or a doctor, or a psychologist, or a teacher, from somebody from one of those agencies. And they have to meet specific criteria to enter. So they're put on the waiting list initially. And so we can have children who are coming in because of high stress levels in the home, where under normal circumstances it would be a normal home.
What sort of things are causing the stress?
Well, unemployment today is causing stress, a great deal of stress, as we're all aware of. But there are also other factors. It might be illness. The mother may have cancer, for example, and be hospitalised. And these days, Dad needs to keep his job if he's got one. And it's not always feasible for a child to go into private care these days.
Do you deal with children that are abused in any way?
We also deal with children who are abused.
Both physically and sexually abused?
Physically, sexually, and emotionally abused, yes.
Yeah. And is that increasing at all?
Yes, that has increased during the last couple of years. Instead of having a referral on a basis of about once every 2 or 3 months, we can anticipate one every month now.
Can you cope with the number that are being referred to you?
We are at the moment.
Just?
Yes.
Do you have a waiting list?
Yes, we've always had a waiting list, actually. But it is a containable waiting list at the moment. Yes. I mean is that given the number of children who will leave to go to school, the children who are on the waiting list should be able to come in within a reasonable period of time. However, we always maintain 2 emergency places for emergency situations.
Right. Now, the Children and Young Persons Act and their Families Act, Magna, that changed things a lot, didn't it, really, for the children's home?
Yes, it was a major change for us. Obviously, the policies of the government or the department were swinging right back to where they were in the early 1900s, where institution-type homes were going out of fashion, and children in need of care were placed in foster homes. This meant that our family homes would have to go out. In fact, their registrations were withdrawn and passed out of our care. We still own the buildings and the couples in two of the homes are still there, and most of the children are still there at their own request. And that will continue for another year or two, I imagine, until the children pass out and go out into the world.
Then there'll be no more referrals, there'll be no more children taken on.
We can't accept any children for family homes now. That's all done through social welfare.
How do you feel about that, Mac? You know, putting government policy aside, I mean...
We're glad to see that they won't close completely, because we feel they have served a very useful purpose during the time they've been in existence. It's given a lot of children a chance to settle down, get their confidence back, and receive the affection that a lot of them needed. Yes, we were sorry to see them go, but perhaps the new arrangements that the department are making may prove more successful in the future. Time will tell.
Max Swinburne's my guest this morning, and Judy Halen-Patterson. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll talk to some of the people, some of the ex-pupils, I guess one would say, the old boys, old girls of some of the institutions, and also, I guess, paying tribute to the work that they've done over the last 100 years. John's on the line at the moment. Hello, John.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Hawke's Bay
Children's Home. I could write a book about it.
I bet you could. when did it start for you?
About 1939-40.
Yeah.
I was about 2.5 years of age.
Why were you in the home?
Well, my mother got kicked out of the house because she was pregnant with me.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she ended up by getting married to a somebody that I didn't want to really know. She put me in. She knew that she was in a bad way herself, because she died when she was about 23 with an enlarged heart. And I think that the guy that she married wouldn't have anything to do with me or anything. And they had to try and find, I think, 5 shillings a month or 5 shillings a year or something like this to put me, to get me into a home. But basically, that's how it started anyway.
What do you remember about what home were you in?
Well, I was in the old Gordon House.
Yes, what do you remember most about Gordon House?
Miss McRae, Miss McCoslin would have been the most vicious, nastiest, rottenest people that I could ever wish to meet. Now, I know I've got the backings of this from just about everybody else that went through there. In a way, if they were in a bad mood, of course, in the middle of the night, and if you wanted to go to the toilet, you had to walk down the outside banister stairs, fireplace, to get down 3 stories to toilets that were right across the yard underneath the big bank.
Ooh, tough times.
Oh, tough times.
Were there good times, though, John?
Oh, we had some great times. You know, I mean, to us they sounded great times, but I think the most important thing is that I left there. I was on the 3rd of February 1949. I left there and went to France House. And that's when life, to me, actually really started. The loyalty and the comradeship of the boys at France House was second to none.
Mm.
You've got a hiding. You never let France House down. If you did, you went through a gauntlet from the boys themselves.
Hey, you sounded like a tough bunch of lads there.
We had to be, but we were looked after by two very, very wonderful people, Mr. and Mrs. Shaw. Now, these two people, they taught us literally anything and everything we wanted to know, from gardening to... We had a farm out there with cows. You know, we had about 20 odd cows at one stage there, all hand milked. And then we had orchards. They'd even to sit down and even teach us how to sew, knit, anything. And we were literally taught that. And also cooking. And I think that some of the things that happened when I left Gordon House, or a couple of things that happened while we were at Gordon House, we used to be taken once a year or twice a year out to France House, and the boys would take us down to what we call the flats near the river, and they'd cook us a meal. And this was done every Saturday afternoon.
Mm.
And I can always remember that because I can remember I was in with this hut and we had to wait an extra hour longer than anybody else because the two boys that were cooking for me and themselves had this cake and it was done on an open fire and everybody was hanging around and everybody wanted my piece. And there was no way in the world anybody was going to get my piece.
Not least they knocked it out, yes.
Yeah, but at France House itself, though, I left there 4 years after that and went out farming. Some people took me from the people by the name of Richmond. Actually, their father was the one that opened Richmond Meat Company out in Hastings.
Oh, yes.
Do you get
together with any of the other old boys of France?
Oh, yeah. We've had quite a few reunions.
And how have they all turned out?
Not too bad. Oh, there's an awful lot that haven't come along, but those who have come along have been, you know, they're boys that are, well, some of them are a hell of a lot older than I am. But, no, really, really nice guys. And a lot of them are in their own businesses now. You know, they've done very, very well for themselves.
Mm.
But I also knew a lot of the girls too that were at the old Gordon House, Randall House. It used to be just underneath, down from where Gordon House is.
Right. It sounds as if you could write a book, and I think you should actually,
oh,
John.
Oh, gee, you could be ever. I mean, a couple of us could get together. We could go on for hours.
Well, I think it'd be most entertaining too.
Yeah.
Thanks
for
sharing just those few little memories with us anyway this morning, John. And, you know, helping mark, I guess, the centenary of the Hawke's Bay Children's Home.
Yeah. I'll have a couple of the others ring up too.
Good on you.
Mm.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
We'll take a few more calls around about this time. We're going to take a look at our fourth part of the election special, the referendum special, I should say, looking at STV. We'll delay that until about 11:15, so for another half hour. STV, the single transferable vote option in the referendum, we'll look at that and deal with some of the advantages and disadvantages of it. It's possibly the most complicated system, but we'll try to clarify it for you at about 11:15 this morning. We'll come back in a moment and take a few more of your calls. You may remember yesterday, Children's Home this morning. It's 100 years since they started up in Hawke's Bay, and just to market it, I suppose, and pay tribute to many of the people who gave a lot of love, care and attention, and maybe some that didn't give quite as much love as others, as John pointed out. We're taking your calls this morning on 830-8989. Harry, good morning.
Hello there.
How are you? Henry, isn't it? Sorry, Henry, I just wrote it down wrong here.
That's all right.
What are your memories?
Well, I have very, very mixed memories. I was went into Gordon House in 1940, and I spent about a year there, and all I can say is that it was just a terrible, terrible place. You've heard of the old Charles Dickens stories about the homes, and Oliver Twist asked for more and got his backside caned for asking and all that sort of thing. Well, that's the sort of place it was.
So really, you know, I mean, Mac, I guess I've got to put it to you, the Hawke's Bay Children's Home has had a checkered history as far as that is concerned. I mean, this is the second call we've had pointing the finger and wagging it at Gordon House.
Well, I must say, I'm not telling stories out of school or anything like that, but I don't think there was many boys who went through that particular home that were very, very happy. It was, they had Miss McRae there, and she was a very, very hard, vicious woman. Miss McCausland, she had great pleasure in slapping you with sticks and all that sort of thing. They were just two terrible people, and the boys and the girls there, they were mixed. They got a terrible, terrible hard time.
Did you move on from there, though?
Yes. I was lucky enough to get out. I left when I was 10. You were supposed to go to France House when you were 11, but I was... luckily, I got out of it when I was 10, and I went to France House, and as John says, life changed from there on. We just, we learned everything that there was to learn, and it was a lovely place under Mr. and Mrs. Shaw.
Yeah.
They were a great couple, and I was out there for 7 years, and at the times, we thought we were pretty hard done by being in the home. You know, the kids had privileges and went to pictures and all those sort of things. We were stuck out there. We thought we were pretty hard done by at the time. But now that you stop and look back on those days, they were a hell of a good days.
Was there some sort of stigma attached to being a France House boy?
Well, yes. Some of the outside kids used to call us home kids. And if we ever caught any of those kids that called us a home kid, they got a bloody good hiding. So,
we're a tough lot.
Yeah, we were.
Not to be mixed with.
We were.
Well, not to be
not
up
to be
against.
No, we were a hard lot, but we had to be hard because no one looked after you other than yourself. You sort of had to sort of bring yourself up. We were guided and guided very well, but we had to bring ourselves up, and we had to be tough. And we were always fair, and they were fair. But we had some terrible, terrible nice times out there, and we look back on them with very fond memories.
Henry, can you tell me the reason why you ended up in the home?
Yes. My father went to the First World War. He came back. He was choked with gas in a very, very critical way. My mother died when I was 4. And, of course, there was 7 in the family, and, of course, he just couldn't look after us all.
What would have happened if there hadn't been the Hawke's Bay Children's Home?
Well, goodness only knows. Well, I had two other brothers that were in the home. So the three of us were in the home there at all at once. But, that's how we were put there, and that's how things went.
Henry, thanks for calling us.
You're welcome.
Good on you.
Good night.
830-8989. Hello, Connie.
Hi, how are you?
Are you an ex-pupil, an old girl?
Yes, I was at Randall House.
Randall House.
Yes, my mother, my grandmother, they both died of the flu in 1918, and I was only 4 at the time, and there were 2 girls and 2 boys. And the boys went into the top, up the home, up the hill, and we both went to Randall House because we had aunties, but they had families of their own, and it was pretty hard times, and we didn't expect them to take another 4 children.
What was Randall House like?
Well, it was spotlessly clean. The girls all had to work. We had dormitories. There were about 34 girls, I think, altogether.
And were you treated better than at Gordon House?
Yes, it was very strict. We weren't allowed to talk in bed, nor at the table.
Same sort of thing, though, happened,
right.
I guess, at any boarding school around the country.
Right. Well, if we were caught talking in bed, they used to make us go down and stand with a blanket over our heads for about an hour. We didn't do that very often, but we had a lot of sneaky fun. Sometimes we used to put a blanket across from one bed to another and make out it was a tent. So I suppose we were a little devil. But we used to have to get up at 6 every morning and straight into a cold bath. You didn't have to stay in it long. But everything was beautifully kept. We all had our own flannel and towel and soap and a little bag in a comb. And so everything was personalised. Our clothes were all neatly folded into little cubby holes, sort of put away in the winter and brought out in the summer.
Did you get together with some of the old girls of Randall House?
No, I haven't actually. I went to England when I was 18. So I sort of lost out on them. I was over there for 25 years, so married over there and had 2 daughters.
Well, Connie, nice to hear from you and that little memory this morning.
But anyway, as I say, it was spotlessly clean. We had our jobs, but we were well looked after.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
830-8989. Back in just a moment or two. That was back in the 30s and the 40s, wasn't it? You know, and I suppose the treatment of children in those days like that wasn't exceptional, was it? It wasn't unusual.
No, that actually could have been considered to be a norm for that time.
In just ordinary homes. Yeah,
although today, of course, it would be completely unacceptable behaviour.
Thank goodness for that. Things have changed. I mean, we may get a chance to hear from people who were in family homes.
That's right.
These were from 1966, and it would be a totally different,
yes,
a different story that they would have. And those people also that have used the daycare facilities,
right,
at your Swinburne,
yes,
house. I fear that we're not going to have time to take all those calls. So I just thought I'd put that in perspective that, although that is part of the history, you know, Gordon House and Randall House and so forth, it's a part of the history of the Hawke's Bay Children's Homes. It's a part of history, I guess, that one feels a little bit embarrassed about in hindsight.
That's right.
830-8989. Hello, Con.
Yeah, good day, Edmund. How are you today?
Good.
Yeah, I went into Gordon House at the age of 4, around about 1945.
For what reason?
Just because our parents were unable to bring us up properly.
Yeah, what's your memory of Gordon House?
I can remember my very first day there getting told to empty my pockets out, and I had Shanghai in a pocket full of stones.
You naughty fellow, you.
Yeah. I don't know what I was doing with them in my pocket.
At 4 years of age?
4 years old, I can remember that very clearly, then getting stood at a big wash basin to have a wash.
Gosh, and people think that today's youth are bad.
Oh, we've done all the things they're doing. Well, not all the things, a lot of them.
How long did you stay there for anyway, Colin?
Well, in the late 40s we shifted to Randall House, which at that stage was next to Central School.
Mm.
And we had a very nice matron by the name of Miss Hall. She was a real nice lady.
Mm.
We had a great time with her. And then went out to France House till about 1953.
And you enjoyed that?
Yeah, Les and Hazel Shaw, they were a terrific couple.
Yeah.
Great people.
Well, that's all we've heard about the Shaws, of course, this morning. Our tribute's paid to them and the love and affection that they gave the kids out
there.
Yes.
Now, I think Miss Hall, she deserves a special mention too, because she was a real nice lady.
Well, thanks for your call, Colin.
Okay.
Nice to hear from you. We'll try to take as many calls as we can before 11 o'clock. Hello, Florence.
Yes, good morning. I went into the Hawke's Bay Children's Home in 1927 with my younger sister, and we lost our mother a fortnight after our youngest brother was born.
Mm.
And there were five of us all together. And I agree with John and the other boy who spoke about McRae and the other woman. I was sent from the girls' home up there because they reckoned that I knew too much. But I will agree that they were very, very cruel. But equally, at the girls' home, we had Miss McLean, who was an ex-army person, and she was the cruelest person that I've ever had anything to do with.
Mm, yeah, there were a lot of people like that, and you know, any boarding schools, and you know, even in families, as I mentioned before, very much like that as well.
Yes.
Florence, thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
We'll take another one. Hello, Jill.
Hello. I was in Randall House for a while, I'll just add what Sam and the others were they were terrible. But then we got shifted to Emerson Home in Waitawa.
Yes.
And they were absolutely wonderful to us.
That's a wonderful home there too, isn't it?
Yes, I grew up there. 5 years I spent there, and I think the best 5 years of my life.
Right. Jill, thanks for calling us. We're trying to run through a few calls. Rosalie, I believe you worked in Randall House, was it?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
How long ago?
And it'd be about 60, in the beginning of the 60s, 60, 62, 63.
Give us one memory, because we're running out of time.
Well, there was about 23, 24 children there in those days. They ranged from about, I think the youngest was about 4.5 to up to about 18, I think our oldest girl was.
Mm.
And I was at also at France House for a little while, and later on.
A good time?
They were good times, yes, busy times.
Tough kids?
Very tough. Some of them were tough, some of them were very good. We used to take them out a lot, take them out to all the different things that were on. And I wasn't very old those days. I was only about 18, I suppose. And,
oh, well.
And some of them were the same age as me.
A bit of an education for you, no doubt, Rosalie.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. It was marvellous. Yeah.
Must leave that. And thank you for all those memories too, folks. Unfortunately, we haven't got time to take more. Mac, thank you for coming in. Max Swinburne, thank you for coming in. And I know you've got pretty low-key celebrations for the centenary, but it's one way anyway of marking and saying well done to the Hawke's Bay Children's Home. Thank you, Judy, for coming in as well.